Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Scott, Stephanie, thank you for being here. Scott, come and minister to us today. We're glad that you're here.
Appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and try to get started. And we'll be in Matthew, the 21st chapter. We're just going to read a couple of verses. It's a very simple message about a fig tree. And so this is Jesus speaking. And it says in Matthew 21, verse 18, I like to ask people, if you're there, say amen. All right, so early in the morning, it says, verse 18, as he was returning to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he went up to it and found nothing on it except leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And at once, the fig tree withered. Now, I've got five, you know, you're Baptist, you've got to have five things. I've got five things I want you to take away this morning from the barren fig tree. And first of all, we understand and we know that Jesus knew everything, right? Because he was 100% God and 100% man. And he knew everything. And so it wasn't like Jesus was caught off guard and surprised when there was no figs on the fig tree. But it's just like when God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day and he asked, hey, Adam and Eve, where are you? He already knew where they were, but he had to ask, or he wanted to ask the question so they could understand where they were. And so here's Jesus, and the Bible says he's hungry because, again, he's 100% man and he's 100% God, and so he has hunger just like you and I, and he sees a lone fig tree, the Bible says. And so he goes over expecting, now we know he knows everything. I'm just using this as human terms. He's going over there expecting to receive figs from the fig tree. And he walks over there, and the fig tree is bare. It's got leaves. It looks like a fig tree. It smells like a fig tree. There's no figs. And so he curses the tree, and it dies. Here's the first thing I want you to know. The fig tree looked the part. The fig tree looked just like a fig tree. I had to study. When I read this and I knew I was going to preach a sermon on the fig tree, I had to study about a fig tree. And here's the thing about a fig tree. When you see a fig tree has leaves on it, that is a sign that there are figs present. It wasn't like there were no. You know, maybe it's a young tree, or we don't have any kind of indication of that. What it says was that it's a lone fig tree and it has leaves, which means there should be fruit. You see, the fig tree looked the part. And there are a lot of people, not here because you guys are real spiritual, but there are a lot of people that go to church every single Sunday and they look the part. But when you start inspecting and you start getting a little closer, there's no fruit. Let me tell you something. The fig tree was, why did he curse it? Why did it have to die? Because the fig tree is not a large tree that has a bunch of shade. The only purpose of the fig tree is to produce figs. That's it. If you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, you're dead. It's the same thing with us. If we're not producing fruit, then we are not effective in the kingdom of God. So the first thing is, even though the fig tree looked the part, it was useless because it didn't have any figs on it. Number two, it was, again, this is carrying over, it was missing the most important part, which was the fruit. It was missing what it was created to do. Produce fruit. And number three, because I go fast. No fruit, no root. You see, there was something missing in the life of this tree. Maybe the soil balance was off, or maybe it wasn't getting enough sun, or maybe this, maybe there was too much rain, or maybe there was not enough rain. The problem is it looked healthy. It had leaves on it. It was a tree. It's standing there by itself, and now Jesus is hungry, and now I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to get some fruit off this tree because I love Fig Newtons. But something is missing that is keeping it from being what it's supposed to be, and that is a fruit bearer. Just a little side note. The church that I pastor, we don't live on the end of a dead-end road. Our church actually sits on a very busy road, very busy road. And so there is always trash being thrown in our yard. And we've got 11 acres. And so a lot of mornings, you know, I'll just walk around picking up trash. And one day I came across, I thought, man, the Lord has blessed me. I was picking up trash and I came across a Hondo, $100 bill. And it was folded up. It wasn't one of them $100 bills that make you mad because you open it up and it's a gospel track. you ever see them? Boy, that just makes me mad. Well, I found 100. No, it's a gospel track. You need Jesus. I found a $100 bill. And so I'm looking around. Yes, sir. And I stuck it. And so I'm taking my garbage bag and I'm taking it inside. And so I pull this out and I'm looking at, I'm like, man, that's $100. Wait a minute. What is this Chinese pink writing on this $100 bill? And so I've got a police officer friend that goes to my church, his name's Matt. And I called him up. I said, Matt, have you guys seen any counterfeit hundreds? He says, yeah, they got pink Chinese writing. I was like, he said, did somebody put it in the plate? I said, no, but I was about to. Because I have a strange brain, I did a little research to see why we have counterfeit $100 bills with Chinese writing on them. And what I found was that's the way the Chinese teach their bank tellers how to recognize a counterfeit bill. And that's not why I brought that up, because there was another article that I read about fake $100 bills, because that's the way my mind operates. The Japanese teach their bank tellers how to recognize a fake $100 bill by giving them a real $100 bill. And they study the real $100 bill so they can recognize a counterfeit when it comes across. You see, we don't have fruit in our life because we are not spending time with the real thing, with God Himself. And I know this sounds strange. If you are saved and you are bought in and you love church and you love people, this is going to sound very strange to you. But there are people that actually go to church that are not saved, but they like being around church people. Even King Saul, when the evil spirit would come on him, he'd say, go get David and let him play some music to soothe me. Yeah. See, there's sometimes we have so much hell going on outside of church that we may not have a relationship with God, and so we may not have fruit in our life, but I want to hang around people that have fruit in their life because they bring peace to me. And so we've got to be spending time with the real God so that we can produce real fruit. Number four, fruit is a byproduct of a healthy tree. What do you mean by that? I'm saying if you go out and you plant a fig tree and you have optimal sunlight and the right soil and the right temperature and the right amount of water, it will automatically produce fruit. You don't have to go out there and lay hands on it. You don't have to go out there and squeeze the branches. You don't have to go out there and talk to it. Come on, man, you can do it. You can produce that fig. You don't have to do that. Because that's what it's made to do. And so it is just, it's a byproduct of being a healthy tree. If it doesn't produce fruit, then that means it's not healthy. There's something missing. There's something going on. And you can try to fix that. But if you get somebody who is locked into the Word, and they're prayed up, and they're studied up, and they love God, and they love to come and worship, fruit comes automatically. It's automatically there. It is present in their life. Nothing is missing. That doesn't mean you've got it all together. It just means that I am plugged in to the source, and the source produces fruit in my life. Little side note. The fig tree does not produce figs for itself. The fig tree doesn't reach over and eat its own figs. The reason you produce fruit is so that others can consume it. That is why if you're not producing fruit in your life, then you're missing out on being effective in the kingdom. Because there are people that need the fruit that you produce in your life. They want to be around you because you produce the right amount of fruit and the right kind of fruit. And they want to be around you because you bring peace and joy in their life. And when you don't bring peace and joy, why are you here? People will stop hanging around you when you stop being joyful. Fruit is a byproduct of a healthy tree. Number five, our identity is found in Christ, but others identify us by our fruit. You need to understand that. I come up here and I crack jokes because I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Baptist just because that's where God wants me to be. If he tells me tomorrow, I want you to pack up and move your family, and you are coming to Missouri, and you're going to sit under Pastor Ashley, then that's what I'll do. I'll be whatever you guys are. I hadn't figured it out yet. I love you, though. But I'm at Midland Heights Baptist Church, and I've been there for almost 13 years because that's where God wants me to be. It has nothing to do with being a Baptist. That's just where God wants me to be. And so I'm there. And by the way, we sing the same songs you guys sing. We do. We turn our lights on and off now. But our identity is not wrapped up in the name of our church. Our identity is wrapped up in who God is and who Christ is in your life. But the problem is people don't identify with Christ in you. They identify in the way you treat them, in the fruit that you bear for other people. Because look, some of the meanest people on the planet still go to church every Sunday. And some of them go to Midland Heights Baptist. No. You see, 82%, I live in actually it's Unionville, which is a very small, unincorporated town. We just say Shelbyville because that's the bigger city that we're attached to. But we live in Bedford County, Tennessee. Bedford County. And I get statistics on, you know, churches. And so you can't sling a dead cat and not hit six churches in Bedford County. We have churches on every stinking corner. But we still have 82% of Bedford County's unchurched. 82% of Bedford County, Tennessee, is unchurched. And it's not because lack of churches. And it's not because, and this is my opinion. I don't know this. The people I talk to, it doesn't matter. You know, how's your relationship with the Lord? It's great. Where do you go to church? I don't. This is what I believe. 82% of Bedford County is unchurched, not because they have not gone to church, but because they have. But when you walk into a dead church that's not producing fruit, then they assume that every church is like that. That's why you got, man, I know you love one another, and I could feel the warmth and the just the love when I came in, the way you guys treated me and my family, and just let Zach go out there and shake hands, and man, I could just tell that you guys value visitors when they come in, because they need to feel the fruit that's being produced. And so it's important as churches, as bodies of Christ, as whether you're in Shelbyville or whether you're here in Missouri, it doesn't matter. God is still working and he's still moving and that's the funny thing about God is he could use anything and he chooses to use broken people to help broken people help broken people. And so our identity, other people will identify you. Oh, well, he says he's a Christian, but let me go over there and check his fruit. Let me go over there and make sure he is what he says he is. You know, we don't have to turn there. I've got it written down, but in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it actually lists out the fruit of the Spirit. Now, hear me. It doesn't say fruits. Fruit. The fig of the Spirit. It's just fruit. So people say, well, you know, that list, that's just a suggestion. That's like the Shoney's breakfast bar. I can go in, I can just kind of pick out what I want and just leave the rest. And no, it is the fruit, singular fruit of the Spirit. So what Jesus is telling us through his word and Paul writing to the church at Galatia is all these things that I'm about to tell you that he lists is supposed to be evident in the Christian's life. All of them. Not one of them, not two of them, all of them is supposed to be present because it is a singular fruit. Yes, and so in Galatians 5, he lists them. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's first. Joy. Man, I tell my church all the time, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Man, when people come to you, you ought to have a smile on your face. And I know my wife's saying, they should. Because you don't smile. That's what she tells me. You don't smile. But listen, joy is different. I got to move on. Joy is different. It is where we get our word rejoice. And we can have joy even in the midst of pain and sorrow and sickness and all these things because we get our joy from the Lord. Yes, circumstances will change your happiness. Yeah. Happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes. But I can have joy all the time. So we have love and joy and peace. Y'all know what's coming, don't you? It's another P word. Patience. Kindness. Notice I skipped patience. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit that when Jesus, he comes walking up to you, he's not a fig tree anymore. He walks up to you because he's hungry and he wants to see the fruit that's in your life. And are you full of the fruit of the Spirit? Are you dripping with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? Or is he looking at you saying, you are not being effective in the kingdom of God? And the reason you're not producing fruit in your life is because you're not spending time in God's word. If the only time you pick up your Bibles, and listen, I struggle with this, Pastor Ashley. When I say pull out your Bibles, I left my phone, and people pull out their phone. I struggle with it. I know their Bible's on there. I do. I know. But most of you are just scrolling through TikTok. That bothers me, man, because I like the Word. I like to have the pages. I like to read the Scripture. And so I tell my people all the time to stay in the Word. If you want to produce fruit, it comes through spending time with God in His Word and then taking that Word and applying it to your life. If you want to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, it doesn't come any other way. There's no pill you can take. There's no show you can watch. There's no music you can listen to. It has to come from His Word. That's it. You have to be planted in the Word in order for you to grow deep roots and have enough of Him in you that it comes out of you. Here's something. You want to know how deep a person's walk is with God? Offend them. You want to know how deep my walk is with God? Take me to Walmart. I get cart rage. Here's if you ever see me, and you're probably not going to see me in Walmart unless you come to Shevel. We've been to Walmart every day that we've been here, though, by the way. So this is what I don't like. This is free. I'm not charging you a dime for this. When people go down an aisle and they stop, and I'm behind them, and they go get something off this aisle, leaving their cart. You guys are real spiritual, I understand. That don't bother you. I take blood pressure medicine. And so that begins to work on my fruit of the Spirit. And I have a game plan when I go in Walmart. I know what I need and I know where it's at and I'm going straight to it. If you stop that process, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness, gentleness, self, it all goes out the window. But here's the issue. Everywhere I go, I get recognized. One of two things. D referee, back 6 years ago, my daughter, oh no. Or they say, aren't you the pastor of Midland Heights Baptist Church? They're inspecting my fruit. Here's the thing about a fig. In order for the fig to grow, fig tree to grow and it produce fruit, it has to be in full sunlight. It takes lots and lots and lots of sun in order to produce the fruit. That's the same way with me, man. I can tell when I'm not prayed up, studied up, read, journaled, got with God, because my figs began to shrink. Here's another cool thing about a fig. You know, a banana or an apple or a tomato, you can take them off the vine and you can set them in the sun and they'll still ripen. A fig is not that way. When you take a fig off the branch, the ripening immediately stops. I'm fixing to show you why that's important. In the book of John, I'll read it real quickly. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, He removes, and He prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean, but because of the word I have spoken to you, remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. The fig gets plucked, it stops ripening. when we are removed from our word and prayer and we just stop growing. We're just done. That's why we got to stay attached. We got to stay in the vine. We got to stay in the branches. We got to make sure we're producing the fruit. Just a couple more things. In the New Testament, it describes fruit as godly attitude. It describes fruit as righteous behavior in Philippians 1:11. It talks about being filled with the fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 13:15 talks about the lips, the fruit of our lips, which is the praise to God. Leading others to faith in Christ in Romans 1:13 through 16 is being led by the fruit of the Spirit. And all this comes, I don't want to say naturally, because our natural tendency is not to do what the Spirit says. But when you are plugged into God and plugged into the source, then it is a byproduct. You're going to produce fruit. You're going to. And so here's the deal. When I go to church on Sunday mornings, I always park around back. So my church don't know I bought a new truck. I don't know if you guys are that way. Baptists, though, they think they pay me too much if I have a new truck. So I park around back so they don't know what I drive. But my new truck will tell me when something's going wrong. When it's getting close to an oil change, it will warn me every single time I start my truck. You've got 10% left of your oil life. Now, I can choose what I'm going to do with that warning. I even know how to reset that bad boy so it doesn't even remind me for another 5,000 miles. Don't mess with me, truck. But that still doesn't change the fact I need an oil change. You see, you can inspect your own life and see, is there love, joy, peace, patience, patience, kindness, gentleness? And you can inspect your own life and see, am I producing that fruit? And there's warning signs to tell you, hey, we need to get in the Word. We need to stay focused. We need to love our spouse. We need to make sure that we're prayed up and stayed up and we are plugged into the source that gives life-giving word. And when that warning pops up because you are irritated with people around you, you can't stand people anymore, nobody wants to hang around you because you don't have that love, joy, peace anymore, then what has happened is that warning sign has come up and you have chosen to cut it off. Instead of choosing to say, God, you're right. Thank you for the warning. Let me get back into the Word. Let me get back into my prayer time. Let me shut everything out and simply focus on you. And then the byproduct of that is the fruit. That's it. The reason Jesus cursed the fig tree and died, it died, was because there was no fruit. It became useless to Jesus. There's a lot of church people that at this point in their life, they are useless to Jesus. Simply because he has put us on this earth to produce fruit so that we can share it with others. And if we're not doing what he's asked us to do and put us on earth to do, then we're just useless to him. So my question to you is, where's your fruit? Now listen, some of you, you may not understand any of this. You were the one I talked about earlier that you don't have a relationship with God. And so there is no fruit to inspect. There never was fruit to inspect. You just like coming to church. And man, that's great because now you're building a foundation. That when you get saved, you're already going to be in the habit of coming to church. But listen, if you don't have Christ in your life, you're not just useless to him, you're his enemy. And so my question to you this morning, there's only two kinds. We're either on his side or we're not on his side. We're either producing fruit and we're in the kingdom,
or we need to be producing fruit and in the kingdom, or we're on this side, and if we're an enemy of God. But there's good news about being the enemy of God, is the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, the enemy, Christ died for us. He gave his life for us. Despising the shame, he took on the Bible says the joy of the cross. I'm just going to ask, as I pray and the prayer team comes up, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you. But you need to inspect and see if there's any fruit. God is waiting. Jesus will be glorified. And you can be set on back on the right path or on the right path for the first time.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.